Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. Every week we do Journey with Mary to some place in the world where she has made an appearance. And you're thinking, no, she can't do that. That's all made up. That's all fantasy. That doesn't really happen. We would read about in the newspaper if that was happening. That's what a lot of people would say. However, millions do know that she's been appearing close to 2,007 times or more. Those are just the documented ones since 48E. That's right. Now, I didn't know anything about this until about 11, 12 years ago, and then I started studying it because I work as a psychiatric therapist. I'm always interested in people's behavior and experiences, even if they get a little strange, and sometimes they do. And some people might think, well, what medicine do these people need? They're obviously having some kind of delusions or hallucinations. Well, until you really investigate and find out that they're fine, healthy, normal people of all ages, and they didn't expect or want this to happen necessarily. And a lot of times they don't even know who she is. They might not know for months who that is appearing. Maybe it's a lost soul. Maybe it's a ghost. Maybe it's a demon. They don't know. Unless she, of course, tells them. But eventually she gets recognized and it's clear who she is and what's going on. But it's not something people make up or are expecting to have happen. And even someone like Juan Diego in Guadalupe, he told her, he says, get someone else. I don't think I'm the right person for this. But, of course, heaven knows what will work and who will do a fine job. It's a fascinating thing to study, and we try to present the best information here from the best appearances that are documented, investigated, approved, or in the process of being approved, at least not denied or, you know, discarded. So because there's so much to understand, we want to understand why it's happening, where it's happening, why she comes to that particular place at that particular time, and what's going on, if there's any warnings, predictions, messages of importance, or what her appearance overall means for that particular place. For example, when she appeared in Ireland, Knock Ireland, there was a potato famine going on, and a lot of people were hopeless and depressed, and her appearance kind of reminded everyone that heaven is aware. Heaven is with you and loves you and cares about you, and made a huge inspiration, which today is a fascinating, huge place of spiritual pilgrimage and worship in that area. So one little appearance can do a lot. When she appeared in Guadalupe, 9 million Indians converted over the next few years. 9 million. So one little appearance can do a lot. And on it goes. So, again, we try to study this and present to you the best details for your own consideration. We're not telling you what to believe, but after you hear enough of this, it's going to be hard not to believe in some of the things we're talking about. And if you doubt or whatever, you can always call into the studio and get online and ask your question. That's right. You can do that. So, and our co-host can explain that if he chooses to. Without further ado, let's bring on that co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley, the founder of Deeper Truth. Good evening, Donald.
Hey, John. And, you know, just listening to you, and I'm something about the Virgin Mary that is consistent. And we're looking at consistency here. Psalms 45, verse 11. Says, and the king will desire your beauty. And how many times do we hear that she is described as a beautiful lady? I mean, just about everywhere.
Just about every single time. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's going to be in this one, too. So, we have some team members who are with us tonight.
Yes, we do. We've got Kathy from the great state of Missouri, like from near where you're at. Hi, Kathy. How you doing?
Hi, John. Hi, Donald. I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I'm sitting here putting the binding on my quilt while I listen and comment when you need me to.
Outstanding, outstanding. And also we have Michael from New Jersey. Hey, Michael, how are you doing?
doing pretty good. Looking forward to this this trip to the Ukraine.
Here in the Ukraine, what's going on? And, I mean, that's interesting, especially with Russia and the Ukraine here. And we got Doc from the great state of Tennessee, the home of Davy Crockett. How you doing there, Doc?
Hey, I'm doing, man. I'm just sitting here enjoying the beautiful, nice weather I got out here. And interested to get into the story. One of the things that I did when you were talking earlier, when you were doing your opening, the thing that strikes me about all these apparitions is the actual the overwhelming amount of physical evidence, not just the visionaries themselves, but the actual the brain waves, the weeping statues. I think there was the springs. We have springs coming up out of the ground. The healings. I mean, I think there's a French term, but there's a term that they use in court. Says the evidence speaks for itself. That's what it means. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but that's what it says. The evidence speaks for itself, and the evidence is overwhelming. It's staggering. You know, and yet again, it's not common knowledge, and that more than anything else boggles my mind.
You're right.
Not to mention the miracles, and we got also Joseph from the great state of Colorado, Rocky Mountain High. How you doing there, Colorado? Joseph.
Joseph,
did you unmute him?
Joseph, he's unmuted. Joseph, maybe he just walked away from the phone or something. I don't know. He is in the
switchboard. Oh, he'll be back. Yeah, he'll be back.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we could go ahead and get into our story, and we'll have plenty to talk about. So we're going to Ukraine. The year is 2002, so just 20 years ago. And the place is Zakarpattia, at Zakarpattia. Yeah, I'll say that three times. Zakarpattia, Ukraine. And it began in 2002 on August 27th. Two girls from the village of Nizhny Bolotne in western Ukraine. They went to a grove to get water from the spring there. Olenka Kurets was 10 years old, and her friend Marianka Kobol was 9 years old. Olenka looked up to see a beautiful lady standing at some distance behind Marianka. When Marianka first turned around to look, she did not see her. But after she filled her bucket with water and looked around again, also did see the beautiful lady standing quietly several paces away. Because the lady did not say anything, they became frightened, thinking she might be a witch. The lady was standing on a small cloud adorned with all kinds of flowers just above the ground. Mary was wearing a white dress with a blue belt and a white headscarf. As the girls took their filled buckets and headed back to the village, the lady on the cloud glided along behind them, escorting them home. Okay, now that's a pretty powerful image and a very common one that we see all the time represented in pictures and paintings and, you know, Mary on a little cloud and flowers at her feet and wearing white with a blue belt or sash, headscarf white, which I know, Donald, you would say stands for purity, truly,
right.
The Virgin Mary. anything else about that first appearance? And notice how the girls didn't say, oh, it's the Virgin Mary. They go, oh, it might be a witch. So, again, it's not like people automatically assume they know what they're seeing. Any reactions?
Yeah, they did not know what it was. What this was. Kathy, you have any thought on that?
Yeah, if I saw a beautiful lady standing on the cloud, a witch wouldn't be my first thought. Would not.
Especially with pink flowers at her feet.
It reminds me of Our Lady of Lourdes, honestly.
Yep, absolutely. So, Alenka's parents disbelieved her story, pretty typical, and reprimanded her for wasting time on such foolishness. But Marianka's father was a priest. Oh, so he cautioned the girls to be careful and always make the sign of the cross. Later that same day, the girls headed to pick up Olenka's younger sister from kindergarten when they saw the lady on the little cloud again. When they made the sign of the cross to protect themselves, the lady was quite pleased and smiled radiantly. Mary then made the sign of the cross in return with her folded fingers. When the girls asked who she was, see, they still don't know. When they asked who she was, they were told that she was, quote, the most pure virgin. On their way home from the kindergarten, the lady appeared again, this time with two angels with her. One angel was taller than the other. They later learned that these were guardian angels. A third angel, which appeared in later encounters, was identified as Saint Michael. So as the children became more accustomed to... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just looking at Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel, maybe that's Saint Michael that doesn't name him here, coming down from heaven wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun. And I think that's interesting that it says here, again, with a rainbow over his head. We're talking about this angel. So this has nothing to do with trans or homosexuals or nothing like that. In fact, the rainbow was the first image that we get of the rainbow was the covenant that God had made as a sign of the covenant that he had made with Noah and mankind. And I presented that because I went down to a protest. I didn't know what it was. I just happened to, there was within, 20, 30, about 50 yards from my front door. And I went down there to find out what it was about. And then I saw all this stuff and all this rainbow and all this gay apparel and everything. And I asked them, do you know where that image actually comes from? And I told them that it was, Noah and the first sign of that covenant. Now I can actually say here, with a rainbow over the head of this mighty angel, Saint Michael, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's interesting. And this girl, this high school kid, walked up to me and said, to say that, you got to believe in God. Yeah. and I do.
That's
and so
funny.
I just thought that was it is. And Mike, you have any thought on that?
Well, I'm just wondering about Marianka's father, the priest. How did he have children if priests are forbidden to marry?
Well, Donald, you might answer that. Being in a country like Ukraine, that might be a little different form, perhaps, of Catholicism there.
Well, okay. Now, in different rites, they could marry, can marry. We're talking about the Latin rite where they do not, but like the Byzantine rite and other rites, they are able to marry. Like in the Coptic, they can marry. Mm-hmm. But in the Latin Rite, they do not. Ordinarily, they do not. Now, there are certain circumstances, like I've had people who have converted to the Catholic Church from the Anglican who were married when they became Catholic, and then they got a dispensation from Rome, and they became Catholic priests. And when they became Catholic priests, they didn't have to dispense with their wives and that kind of – no, they did not. But that's just that's not the norm. That's not the norm.
Right.
But there are different rites where the priests do marry or are allowed to marry. They could not be a bishop. A bishop does not marry. But a priest can marry, and only once. Only once. If something happens with the wife, they would not be able to remarry. But that's a good question, Mike. And there, and some people may not mm-hmm. have – I mean, that's an outstanding question, Mike. And, Doc,
right.
do you have any thought on this?
Yeah, actually, it's the Greek Orthodox that allowed the married priests, and being that part of the country, that would make sense. Now, as far as going back to what Kathy was saying, my first thought wouldn't be in a witch. Well, you got to remember these people were probably were gypsies, that gypsy mentality, and there was a lot of witchcraft and a lot of that. You know, so yeah, you see somebody floating, you know, you might think, holy crap, it's the dark arts. So I can see a child being thinking that and, you know, getting scared. But the fact that it was a friendly, you know, I don't think Mary would put off those vibes. So the children didn't panic and run away. But that first instinct might have been. We don't know what was in their head when she popped up in the first place.
Yeah.
But yeah, and as far as the fact that I also think that it's sad now that we have to make the distinction about the rainbow. When we speak rainbow, we're not speaking sexual alphabet. Where we're speaking the covenant with God, that we actually have to make that distinction nowadays is sad.
Yeah,
and it is sad.
Now,
and when that kid said, you got to believe in God, I would have said, hallelujah, praise God.
I said, you bet it. But I will say this, that the Greek Orthodox, though, is not, they are in schism with the Catholic Church, where the Byzantine and the Coptic and these others are not, and they are permitted
right.
to marry by the under the Pope. But now the Greek Orthodox
yeah.
is not, they are in schism with the Catholic Church since 1054.
Okay.
And so they would not be in the Ukraine as a whole. They would be primarily like in parts of Russia, you know, like the Russian Orthodox. Or the Greek
right,
Orthodox.
Right. Okay, well, yeah,
so,
Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, you know. But, yeah, that, and you're right, in different sects, they would allow that.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah.
So,
I was just pointing out the Greeks do allow it.
So, as
and
the
we got,
children became... As the children became more accustomed to seeing the Blessed Virgin, they became bolder, asking her many questions. Mary said that she came to promote the authority of the priests among the people, to unite the church, to bring together the Ukrainian people who were separated, and promote more prayer. Mary wanted
now, right
the children's
there, would you...
parents. Go ahead.
John, what you just said right there is exactly the mission that Pope St. John Paul II had been doing in uniting these different schismatics at the time, like the not
yep.
necessarily so much of the Byzantine, but the Coptic and some of these, that were reunited into the Catholic Church. In fact, we talked about that last week when the Virgin Mary appeared in Egypt and the Coptic Church – they gave the evidence that it's real. And so it was the Catholic Church, the Catholic authority, which the Coptic became that Catholic authority. That's awesome.
Right.
And we got we have also Joseph from Colorado. Joseph, you're back. Hey, Joseph, what do you think about this?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you now.
I was there before. I don't know why we couldn't hear each other, but I was there. Anyway, this is, it's a beautiful thing. And, to appear like that and, these kids, at that age, who knows what they were experiencing? It must have been awesome, to see that and to have one's father be a priest. That's extremely interesting, was it Byzantine? I've been to Byzantine Mass a couple dozen times. There it's pretty awesome, actually. It's certainly different from the Roman, but the icons are all over the place. over the place.
I've been there too. I've been to them.
I knew the priest very well, and he had both rites, Roman and Byzantine, and it was a Monsignor, actually, and he was the priest that asked me to tell him my story. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Tell me about your life from day one, whatever you know." And when I told him, that's when he told me, he says, "You're going to be something special. You are something special beyond as we all are. We all have a calling." He says, yours is going to be really tough and out there. And here I am, for him to have that right, when I started going there, all the other people that were a part of that church, I forgot what names they have, young guys holding, I forgot what they even hold, but they hold things during the Mass, and there's a deacon in there, and they question because they had never seen me before, and he's like, "Oh no, he's receiving." So I really appreciated that. It was very, the Byzantine is very special. And you look at those icons, they're phenomenal.
They are phenomenal. And Joseph, now put yourself in the mindset of one of these children that Mary appeared to. If you had a question you would like to ask Our Lady, what would that be? If you had a question for her.
Wow, why are you appearing to me? that would probably be that would probably be first. you think about what's going on in the Ukraine now, and it's pathetic. It's sick. It's demonic. Finding these graves with children in them, and it's horrible what's happening to that country. Certainly God be with them.
Mary
be with them.
Exactly. And asking that to John, because John, he works in psychology. He's into the psychology thing. It would be what would John say if the Virgin Mary appeared to him like that? Would he be trying to analyze her mind like that?
No.
Why are you appearing to me? Come on, John, what would you do? What would you say?
John, the person would say, I'd probably say, "Why are you appearing to me?" Same thing.
Copycat. John, maybe she'd come to critique your latest book.
Oh, I think she helped write it.
That's right.
Yeah. She's not away at all. She's right beside me. Mary wanted the children's parents to go to the spring of water in the woods to pray. But Maryanka's father, the priest, was reluctant because it did not seem proper. Mary asked, through the children, for the priest to inform the local church authorities of her appearances by telling, quote, the old Bishop Meritich first. Okay. So the bishop was informed and immediately came to their village to question the young girls closely. He wanted to know if she could confirm her identity in some manner to them. The girls replied that when people started praying at the spring in the woods, that a confirmation would happen. That's what Mary told them. So therefore, on August 31st, 2002, by the way, I love the way Mary gets her way. She says, I'll tell you if it's me if you meet me, if you meet at the spring like I said to. So, therefore, on August 31st, 2002, Bishop Marhaitich held a religious service at the spring in the woods known as Jublik. Word spread, and soon many pilgrims from all over the Ukraine were coming to this area in hopes of seeing a miracle. A chapel was eventually built there, and sightings of Mary happened with others at this place. Some reported that Mary was weeping. Others saw the Holy Family. The cross standing in front of this chapel lost its gilding, and blood appeared instead. A sample of this blood was sent to a laboratory, and tests revealed that it was truly human blood, as reported in a May 12, 2004 newspaper. Many people reported that they could look directly at the sun without blinking or injury while at Jublik. That sounds like the spinning sun phenomenon. Miracles were reported occurring at the spring of water. Many people smelled incense or roses, despite neither being present. Another reliable report claimed that the sun appeared completely different, with a circle of different colors around it. Several weeks after these events first began, Olenka, the little girl who's 10, saw a strange man appear next to the priest during a church service. She whispered to Maryanka next to her, who noted only the silhouette of a man initially, which then developed into a visual appearance of a tall man with shoulder-length hair and a small beard. Maryanka then whispered to her mom what she was seeing. Quote, the man wore a blue garment with a red shirt underneath. His feet could not be seen as they were hidden by a small cloud, unquote. She described wounds on his hands and that he was very good-looking, for that he was conducting the service along with the priest, making all the same gestures. Wondering if this had been Jesus, they asked the Virgin Mary at her next appearance, and she confirmed that it had been Jesus whom they had seen. They also saw on another occasion a man in a brown robe holding a long stick in one hand and a lily in the other, and they wondered. That's right. That had been Saint Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I know him. For a second. I know him.
Hey, how cool is that? That Jesus was right by the priest, making the same gestures and the same everything as the priest was. I mean, talk about in sync.
Amazing.
With the Lord. Isn't that cool?
Oh, totally.
Well,
speaking of that, because they had the sense of incense. Well, when the Lamb, which is Jesus, when Jesus opened the seventh seal, there at the Mass, there at the table, there at the altar, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense rose with the prayers of the saints from the hand of the angel before God. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder. There were loud noises, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And this is very simple because when Isaiah, the angel, took a tongue from the throne and placed on the tongue of Elijah, then that is symbolic that we see here, because that's for us. We're receiving that, and it's the confession. It's the sacrament of confession where we receive that mercy and that forgiveness, which when we meet Jesus at the end of time, when we meet him to face Jesus and his justice, we will be standing there with his mercy, because he will honor the confessions. When you go to confession, he will honor that mercy that he gave you through the action of his priest. He will honor that when we stand before him. And that's what all this is representing, and that's what all this is meaning. Oh, that's powerful stuff. Oh, this is, I mean, that, the Catholic Church is the one true faith. Do not forsake it. Never, ever, 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 ever.
Amen.
Oh, my. So that's wonderful. And I love, you know, I love what y'all's responses were, that you would be asking Our Lady, why me? And then just like that,
yeah.
Song, why me, Lord? What have
right.
I ever done to deserve even one of the many
yep.
blessings? You know, what have, why me, Lord? I love that song. That was a Chris Christopherson song.
Right.
But that's a good song.
So there remained many skeptics and doubters who thought the girls must be hallucinating, making it all up, or maybe just psychic inability. But the girls not only were healthy, normal, and active in typical events for their age, they had no history of any disorders, lying, or fabricating any tall tales. So one day, accompanied by 8 other children, they went to the spring in the woods where Mary appeared to them again. They invited the other children to kiss the Virgin's hand or feet. There you go, another opportunity to touch Mary. Not unusual. It pops up here and there. So even though the other children could not see her when they were guided to where her feet would be and kissed the area, they sensed a strange warmth there. On the way home, they all observed a mysterious light following them to their village. Now, when other people have had that touching Mary, they feel some kind of presence or electricity or sensation, warmth. So they do perceive something. I know that happened in Medjugorje, but also with Miraculous Medals, she put her hands on Mary's lap, Catherine Labre, for 2 hours. And talked with her. So, you know, different
wow.
touching has occurred. In Garrett Bandel, she was hugged and kissed. You know, there were other moments. And here we have again where they were able to feel her presence even though they couldn't see her with these other kids. Now, on another occasion, Olenka kissed the feet of Christ when he appeared before her. But then she felt a sharp pain stab her in the hands, feet, heart, and head. She collapsed to the ground, and the other children had difficulty raising her. Now, this has happened in other apparitions as well, when someone's on the ground and cannot be lifted, cannot be picked up, even by the strongest of men, cannot pick up like a 3-year-old because they feel like they're stuck to the ground like a magnet. And that's the hand of God, you know. But
wow,
you know,
yes.
I can't see that. But, yeah,
and these children, for anyone who may be new to this, these children certainly weren't mature enough to lie about this and copy what's taken place in other locations. And of course,
yeah.
those things weren't advertised back then either. They weren't known because of technology. So, anyone who's questioning anything, you know, this is very clear truth because these kids were so innocent.
Yeah. That's right. And it's typically the case. So it's pretty interesting. So it sounds almost like stigmata in one way. She has these pains and all of that. You know, and stigmata is a very close connection with Christ, and here she just kissed his feet when she saw him. So many people think, oh, that's horrible. She's in pain. But, you know, Padre Pio would tell you, oh, no, that's a gift. You know, it's an honor to have that connection to. Even Mother Teresa says, when you suffer pain, you are more in connection with Jesus than at any other time. When you suffer, you are closer to him.
I just explained that to some people about me.
I bet. Yeah. I knew you would understand that, Joseph.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. You know, people who don't understand that, you know, who waste their suffering, it's actually sad. You know, suffering has to be used. You'll give it up for every cause you can think of, you know, for people, for nations, whatever the case may be, you know, for the elections, don't waste your suffering. It's to be used, and certainly brings you closer to God. Yeah.
It does. It does.
So, it is interesting, and that's true. That's true. Very true.
Mm-hmm. So she stretched out on the ground, spreading her arms out, assuming the position of someone being crucified. Again, she could not be lifted from the ground. A young boy ran back to the village for help, returning with Reverend Atanasi Chipriesh, and a watchman. They eventually got her to her home after sprinkling water from the spring on her face. Interesting. The miraculous water. Unable to speak yet, she wrote on paper for her parents that she would not be able to attend school during Lent due to her inability to walk. I wonder if parents bought that one. I'm not going to school during Lent because I can't walk. Yeah, how many parents would buy that one? But Reverend Atanasi interviewed her carefully, learning that she had accepted an offer from Jesus to suffer along with him and to not walk until Easter. So there you go. The reverend found out that she had made a deal with Jesus to suffer along with him until then. How's that for an interesting twist?
That's very
no
interesting.
No great loss without some small gain.
Yeah.
You know that church that you were talking about? I wonder how that has held up during this Russian attack. I wonder.
Well, it's far in the western part. They said it was way in the western part of Ukraine, so it's probably fine.
Okay. Well, it's amazing how they targeted places like that, though. You know, I mean, what they've done, churches, hospitals, schools. I mean, what are they doing trying to wipe the place out completely? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's an interesting little bit. In a dream at night, the Virgin Mary took her on a cloud, riding to heaven, purgatory, and hell. And the little girl said she was surprised to see bishops and priests in all three places.
Wow.
Mary explained that they were in hell because they did not really believe in God. Whoa. And some priests were in purgatory because they did not listen to the righteous bishops as they should have. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Any thoughts on that? You know, that's not unusual in my In my research of heaven, hell, and purgatory, yeah, bishops and priests were seen in all three places. And, you know, it just goes to show they are men and they can sin and they cannot be worthy. They could perhaps not believe in God, or maybe they were collecting money and doing some improper things. And, you know, I would think they were held to a higher standard for certain. So,
That's been happening since the very beginning. I mean, it was the Pharisees that killed Jesus, and the Jewish, you know, hierarchy killed all the prophets.
Yep.
Absolutely.
In Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, you might notice that the two characters that passed by the injured man were both church officials.
Yeah.
Well,
I got
so that's why. Go ahead there. Go ahead there, Doc.
Actually, I was sitting here thinking about the agreement that she made. I mean, one, first off, if Christ himself asked you to take part in his suffering, how could you say no? Right? But, I'll tell you, I know a thing or two about pain. And, Joseph, you're right. Don't waste your agony. Don't waste your pain. It's actually a gift. Pain doesn't hurt. It doesn't. It's something that can become a part of your life, and it does. And you use it. But, to live through what Christ went through for that long, for any length of time, That takes an amount of character that, truthfully, I don't know that I'd have. I thank God they haven't asked me. I got something else. Earlier today, I received communion. I couldn't go to Mass, so my wife brought me a pyx. Father put it in there. No unconsecrated hands has touched it. And I got the pyx, and I didn't take it right away. I sat there and contemplated what I had in my hand, this pyx, and what it held. And I opened it up, and I looked in it, and I saw this host. And I sat there for a while, and this thought flashed through my head, and it was like, you know, remember that line from Aladdin? Phenomenal cosmic power, itty bitty living space. And I could see I don't know how to put it into words. Just I'm looking at this little wafer, but it's I'm thinking body, blood, soul, and divinity. What does that mean? And it seems so huge and so small at the same time. I really don't know how to articulate it. I wish I did, but it was.
You said it.
It was a good experience.
Very well.
But yeah, that line from that movie. I actually saw the clip with all the planets and everything, and God up there, the genie in the movie, the God, and then little bitty living space.
That's great.
The Eucharist is Catholicism. Catholicism is the Eucharist. If you don't believe in it, we don't need you. Go somewhere else. We want you to believe. We want you in the fold. But if you're not here, you're just wasting your time. Yeah.
To deny the Eucharist,
all you're doing
you're
is
denying Christ. You're right.
To take the Eucharist and not believe in it, that's worse than not taking it at all, my friend. I promise you. To take it and not believe
definitely.
It, you'd be better off not taking it at all. I promise you.
You know, First Corinthians chapter 11, and you get that picture right there. But I had a very unique situation here when I went to Mass, and when I went to communion with a pyx, and I saw the deacon place the host inside the pyx, and I took it home for my wife because I was going to give the Eucharist to my wife. And when I opened up the pics, the Eucharist was not there. And I went through, oh, my goodness, what had happened? I could not, I mean, I was freaking out because how did the Eucharist turn up missing? And, I mean, literally, I was like, I started blaming St. Michael. St. Michael, did you do something here? Did you take the Eucharist here? Because he's been known to do that. He's been known to do that. And I mean, yeah, I literally went back to the church, and I was able to get another host. I was totally freaked out because I watched the deacon place that host inside the pics from his hand into the pics in my hand. And when I was ready to give the Eucharist to Gigi, and the Eucharist was not there, I mean, I almost had the feeling like I could understand Joseph and Mary when they lost Jesus. Because, you know, they lost Jesus. I had that feeling. I could not see, I mean, and then I started really blaming St. Michael. What did you do, man? And
well,
then
you
I
found
discovered.
Jesus.
Well,
Jesus
I did find.
Temple,
I, well, what happened was, this actually had a. I happened to had a pix that I had placed it up here in my I have my office, but I had the pix that I was going to give the Eucharist to my wife in a place I normally place it. And there, I just happened to have two pixes. And the one pix I had, I was freaking out. But then when I came up into my office and I realized that I had this pix here, all right, okay. So,
well, so you did find
it. I was fine. I did find it. I went through that. It was crazy.
I got one more thing I want to put out there. Look, some people say the hardest thing in the world is to ask for help, and I say that's not true. One of the hardest things in the world is to tell somebody they need help. You may not be able to help them. You may not have the resources or the mental ability or whatever, but you can see it in their eyes they need help. And they may not be aware that they need help. They may be struggling and they're overwhelmed by it. And it's hard to hear that and it's hard to say it. But if you see somebody needs help, take the time to tell them, look, I'm concerned about XYZ. You need help. And if you have to drop the hammer on them, you do it. But you got to do that because there are far too many people out there in despair, and they're not even aware they need the help. Because you get caught up in it, you can't see it from the outside. So if you see somebody needs help, tell them you need help. Get some help. Anyway, that's just one thing.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, all right. I like that. Well, gang,
you know, hey, there's a ministry. A ministry to be ministered to. So there's, I think what you were saying there is right on target there, Doc, because there is a ministry to be ministered to. And we must humble ourselves about that.
Yes.
So, yep. Yeah.
Yes. Well, so the last bit of this, I mean, there again, you never know how much more material we could find on one of these particular episodes. I mean, obviously, a lot went on there. The last thing I have was just saying that Olenka's stigmata pains eventually disappeared, and she's free, completely free of them, and everything's fine. That's the end of that story, but guess what? Next week, we're going to be in the Ukraine again because,
well,
the next 2 years, Mary appears in another part, Chernobyl and Lyshynia, Ukraine, in 2003 to 2005. Now, you know, it's interesting. Mary usually appears somewhere right before something big's going to happen to that country. And here she is, 2002, 2003, 2005. And within 20 years, we know what happened, of course. So, Interesting. So next week we'll see what happened in that part of the country, Chernobyl and Lyshynia, Ukraine, 2003 to 2005. So a whole set of different experiences, but in the same country. That ought to be interesting.
All right.
It is interesting.
Hey, can I mention one thing? You know, I went to church today. I went to church today very, very miserable. My pain was extremely over the top. All, my right arm and shoulder, and particularly burning pain. I mean, really burning pain. And you know, I popped more stuff than I belong popping, or than I usually pop. And I went to church and prayed, and Mass was difficult. It was very difficult. But when I received communion, it calmed down to a tolerable level. And people saw me, and I've been thinking about this. I sit in the front all the time, anywhere between the first and fifth row, and I'm contemplating sitting in the back for now one because that could be distracting. And so I end up having a real good conversation about it and about, again, not wasting pain, you know, having everything I have. And a couple of them ask, well, just what do you have? And a couple of them pull it up immediately on the computer, on their phones, the reflex sympathetic dystrophy and dystonia. And the RSD is the worst pain in existence. And I've had it for 28 years. And it's tough. You know, I've had all the radical surgeries for it, the spinal cord stimulators, sympathectomies, and I continue to have burning pain. And it is tough to deal with. But, you know, and the point is, it's easy to say, you know, I'm not going to church, you know, and me, the more I wear, the more I hurt. And I've never gone to church without wearing a sports jacket. And so the more I put on, I'm hurting and I'm still going, because you're going to get something out of it. As hard as it may be to sit through it, you're going to benefit one way or the other. And it's just an important thing not to miss. And yes, you'll be forgiven for missing it, but, you know, take that effort to make it no matter what.
All right. Good point. Yeah. All right.
Goodness, Joseph.
Oh, by the
God
way, Joseph.
Bless you.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you. God bless you.
What are your children saved number up to?
1120.
Wow. 1,120 lives saved. I still say you're a saint.
Yeah.
That's just amazing.
I just
and
try.
By the way, with when you suffer more during this lifetime, if you are to serve any time in purgatory, it's almost all already served because of your pain here. I've read that numerous times, and some of the others of you might have heard that too. The more you suffer in this lifetime, you've already served any purgatory time that you might have been needing. If any.
Well, John, if you're praying the rosary, one of the promises that we get, if you're praying the rosary dedicated to the rosary and promoting the rosary, you will bypass purgatory. Don't aim low, aim high. Aim high.
That's right. All right. So next week we'll be in Ukraine again, and thank you all for joining us tonight, and stay tuned next week. More from the Ukraine, and I think that will be very interesting. I know there's some good messages coming next week, very interesting messages. So.
And after your Hail Mary, then I just want to make sure that we got Kathy ready to rock and roll.
All right.
Yes, sir.
She's our Latin. Outstanding.
It's so nice. It's beautiful.
It is.
All right.
Is.
So with that, we will go into our worldwide Hail Mary. And I love saying this because no matter what time zone or country you're in or what part of the day or night it is you're listening, And so all these Hail Marys around the world are said in unison, in one voice that rises up to heaven from all around the world at the same second. And I just think that's powerful to do that. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen.
Nomine Patris Filii Spiritui Sancti, Pater Noster quies in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos educas in tentationem, se libera nos malo, amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tua mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis, peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen. Beautiful. Well, tomorrow night we will have a Eucharistic miracle, and so same bat time and same bat station. So I'm looking forward to these are awesome. These are great. And don't forget that the month of September, the church is honoring the seven sorrows of Mary. So just keep that in mind and dedicate time for the seven sorrows of Mary. Well, God bless everybody, and thank you, everybody. Everybody. John, thank you for I love these. I love these, and we're going back to the Ukraine again, so I just love it. Amen, amen again. And so I'll end with Let It Be.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil of Satan. who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom. Let it be.
Praise be Jesus Christ. There are reports of a possible new Eucharistic miracle in Mexico. I'll read to you from an article, a Catholic News Agency article by David Ramos, July 27th. This is straight out of the Mexico City newsroom. The caption is, a new Eucharistic miracle in Mexico? A video circulating on social media shows what appears to be a Eucharistic miracle. A consecrated host exposed for adoration by the faithful seems to beat like a heart. And in one of the commentaries, I heard that doctors have observed it and said, yeah, that corresponds to the typical rhythm of a beating heart, a palpitating heart. Goes on to say, this happened on July 23rd at Our Lady of the Holy Rosary Parish near Guadalajara in Mexico, state of Jalisco. Okay, there's all kinds of details. I'm just going to read some highlights. The priest who was part of this is Argentine priest Father Carlos Spahn, founder and superior of the religious family of the Immaculate Heart and Divine Mercy. So, founder of a religious community, we might be dealing with a holy man here, certainly a man dedicated to God, who is currently ministering in Mexico. He led the Eucharistic adoration service. The phenomena occurred after Mass was over. He said, we exposed the Blessed Sacrament, I said the prayers for the exposition, and when I got up to go to the sacristy, this began to happen. And some people took recordings. It says, these recordings were made by people who quickly took out their cell phones, filmed it, and passed it on to the priest almost immediately, since the priest asked them for the material, so they won't alter it or anything. So did you catch that? The Eucharistic host begins to palpitate. People take out their phones, record it, show it to the priest, and the priest says, give me those immediately. Then people can't say, oh, well, it was just, you know, people altered it later. Well, no, it happened. The videos were witnessed by Father Spahn. Father Spahn says, I attest to this authenticity from the exact moment. And it says that this Eucharistic host that was palpitating like a heart lasted 20 or 30 seconds at most, which, when a miracle is happening, is actually a long time, 20 or 30 seconds. Okay, goes on to say, Father Spahn said that, now listen to this, this could be an interpretation inspired by the Holy Spirit with a certain prophetic authority. The priest, Father Spahn, said that as a personal interpretation, he sees in what happened the heart of Christ, which beats for love for men. This heart, he lamented, is so outraged, so abandoned, so despised, that sometimes we don't treat him as we should, with greater care, with more faith, with more dedication. Amen to that. Beautiful. And then the priest goes on to say, I'm not saying it's a miracle officially, because I don't have the authorization to do so. And the article goes on to explain how cautious and careful the church is and approach the church takes with matters like this. Hours before what happened in the Mexican parish, the priest had a blessed picture frame with a photo of Blessed Carlo Acutis. Are you all familiar with him? Who had a deep devotion to Eucharistic miracles and used the internet to make them better known. The photo, he said, was sealed with glass, but that night the photo began to ooze oil. I'm simply saying that without making any judgments about it. And there's more details in the article. I'll give a link to the article in the description below. If someone could include a link for the video of this Eucharistic miracle, I think it's on Twitter and other things. I'm not on Twitter, so if you could include that link, that would be great too. And I want to read to you Mark chapter 16. It says, but they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. Viva Cristo.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper Truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.